Chapter 7, When Dwayne First Met Magic. Dwayne had been requested to attend an afternoon tea hosted by his friend Handsome. The official invitation, which Dwayne found lying at the lip of the cave, said as much. You are cordially invited to an afternoon tea at the residence of Handsome the Musk Ox, Esquire, who will host the affair with aplomb and watercress sandwiches, as well as fruit, sorbets, shortbread, and tarts. It shall take place 3 days hence at 2 o'clock. RSVP at your earliest convenience. Dwayne was both excited and nervous upon reading it. The consuming of sorbets, tarts, and aplomb sounded like a wonderful way to pass an afternoon, but the mysterious RSVP left Dwayne unsure of what to do. He tried saying RSVP out loud a few times, thinking he'd recognize the word if he heard it. Rzvip. Rzvip. Pip. It did not help. What did help was when he turned the invitation over. As if Handsome could read Dwayne's mind, he had written on the back. RSVP is short for Respond, il vous plaît, which is French for You must tell me if you can make it. Otherwise, all my great efforts will have been wasted. Mystery solved. Dwayne now had to walk all the way to Handsome's residence, which was an open field due north, in order to tell Handsome that he would return in 3 days' time to attend the afternoon tea. Secretly, Dwayne wished they could have the afternoon tea this day, since he was already walking over there. To his way of thinking, it would have been more efficient. But Handsome was a friend, and Dwayne knew that Handsome preferred, as he put it, to obey the rules and etiquette of society in regard to the decorum of social gatherings, both big and small. Dwayne was not completely sure what any of that meant, but he did know that if there were sorbets, tarts, and a plum to eat, it would have to wait for 3 more days. The way to Handsome's place passed between 2 long but short hills, now completely covered in fresh, sparkly snow. Looking at all the beautiful wintry scenes of snow and ice made Dwayne's heart beat strong and happily. So different from Handsome's experience of the season, because winter meant that the reflection pond in the middle of the field was covered over in snow. Idle days of standing at the water's edge staring down at his striking face would have to wait until the spring thaw. Dwayne suspected that Handsome was feeling a little lonely without his reflection to keep him company, and that's why Handsome was having an afternoon tea. But as Dwayne continued down the path, he heard a hello coming from the snowbank. Hello? Said the snowbank. Dwayne had never before been addressed by a hill, snow-covered or otherwise. Up until then, he would have confidently said that the hills do not speak. But the hill had said hello, and said hello again. Hello. Hello to you, replied Dwayne. The snowbank said nothing further. The snowbank had, in effect, returned to being a silent snowbank. Dwayne decided it was for the best. He had begun to take his leave when he heard a hello coming from the opposite snowbank. Hello, said the second snowbank, in much the same voice as the first. Dwayne paused. Because he was recently thinking about Handsome's rules of manners and etiquette, he wondered if perhaps there was a proper way to address a hill or any other geographical feature. How do you do? Was the reply Dwayne tried on. The snowbank blinked, or maybe twinkled for a split second. Dwayne wasn't sure, but other than that, it remained quiet. It would seem that how do you do isn't correct either. Dwayne thought, continuing on his way. He was greeted by both snowbanks over and over, first on one side, then on the other, sometimes high up on the hill, sometimes at the bottom. Dwayne offered as many different replies as he could. Hello? Hi? Hello? Greetings? Hello? Good morning? Hello? Hey there? Hello? Sorry, I must be going. Dwayne tried to be civil, but in truth, he felt a little spooked, so he quickened his pace more and more until soon he was running away. When he reached the field that his friend called home, Dwayne confirmed his RSVP to the afternoon tea, which Handsome much appreciated, and then recounted how he had been spoken to over and over by 2 snow-covered hills, which Handsome did not appreciate. "I trust you're not going daft, Dwayne," he said impatiently. "I had an uncle who went daft. The amusement runs thin sooner than one might think. I don't wish to go to the effort of serving you afternoon tea if you're just going to wear the teacup on your head like a bonnet and recite limerick poems. Is that what your daft uncle did? Asked Duane, genuinely curious. Do you remember any of the poems? Handsome let out an involuntary snicker before he regained his stiff composure and severely said, No, I do not. And even if I did, it would be most improper to repeat them. Now, if you would be so kind, I have an afternoon tea to prepare for. Duane was not keen on returning home the same way he came because he feared that there would be more hellos to contend with from the hills. So he decided to take the long way around. And as he was taking the long way around, it occurred to him that he was now close to the mainly frozen, cold ocean and the shipwreck where Cece lived. If anyone would know how to greet a geographical feature, it would be her, he said. Duane reached the shoreline and crossed the mainly frozen cold ocean until he reached the jagged gash in the bow of the shipwreck that served as a door. He entered and made his way towards the back of the ship, up the stairs, until he came to a room. Duane poked his head through the doorway. Cece was perched on a wooden table looking down at a large open book. Hello, Cece. May I interrupt your reading with a question? You already have. Excuse me? And again. Duane was momentarily confused until he realized that by asking if he could ask a question, he was asking a question. Oh, I see, he tried again. May I interrupt your reading with a question after the question I'm asking right now? Yes, replied Cece curtly. How does one greet a snow-covered hill? Cece blinked her two big eyes twice. The short answer is, you don't. Now, allow me to ask you a question, Duane the polar bear. Why would you want to greet a snow-covered hill? Grateful that Cece's question wasn't hard, as they often were, Duane wasted no time in answering. Because it said hello to me, or rather, two hills said hello to me. Many times over, I might add. Cece stared at Duane, this time without blinking. She let a brief sigh escape. It was not a sigh of contentment. Hills, like all other geographical features, are not in the custom of speaking hellos or anything else. That's what I thought too, Cece, agreed Duane with great relief. I said to myself, Duane, hills or mountains or icebergs do not talk. But then they did. Cece strode across the big oak table towards Duane and pointed one of her wingtips at him. You haven't considered the possibility that there may be another more reasonable explanation for the voices you heard. More reasonable? Asked Duane. He paused to mull the conversation or consideration over. Then suddenly his face brightened. Of course, he shouted happily. Talking hills, what was I thinking? It must have simply been magic. Cece bowed her head and shook it slowly in a disappointed manner that put Duane's newly acquired relief into question. It wasn't magic? He asked timidly. Duane the polar bear, I am a scientist, as you well know. I deal with what is. I cannot accept that magic is involved. Bring over that chunk of lapis lazuli that's sitting on the shelf. I have something you can use for your next encounter with the voices. The now chagrined polar bear obediently retrieved the blue rock and followed all her instructions, which included using a mortar and pestle to crush the rock into a fine blue powder, pouring the powder into a flask and capping it with a cork. Cece then explained what he was to do with it when the time came. Thank you, Cece, said Duane, feeling again relieved. The snowy owl went back to her studies, and Duane took his leave as quietly as possible so as not to disturb her no further. As he walked along the ship's corridor, past doorways that led into rooms filled with pretty objects, including porcelain plates and decorative silverware, Duane was reminded of Handsome's afternoon tea in 3 days' time. It occurred to him that it might be a proper gesture to bring along a gift. He recalled Handsome mentioning it in one of his many lectures on manners. Duane chose a room and rummaged through it for a good long time until he came across an item that he was sure Handsome would like. He even found a small case to present it. So with his flask of blue powder and a box containing his present, Duane headed home. 3 days later, as the invitation had stated, Duane spruced himself up for what he hoped would be a tasty assortment of treats. He grabbed Handsome's present, which he also spruced up by tying a bright yellow ribbon around it, and left his cave. A minute later, he returned to the cave to take along the flask of blue powder. Just in case, he told himself.
When Duane reached the point along the path that took him between the two snowy hills, his body tensed in expectation of invisible voices surrounding him again. He didn't hear a peep. Out of curiosity, he slowed down and listened extra hard. Still, not a voice made itself known. This might have given Duane a degree of comfort if it weren't for the fact that while he was listening, the bright yellow ribbon around Handsome's gift was untying all by itself before Duane's very eyes. "This is even worse than the hills saying hello," he thought while watching the loose ribbon inexplicably fall to the ground. Duane jumped back in fear. "Hello," said a voice behind him. Duane jumped forward in fear. "Hello," said the voice just to his right, and at the same time that Duane jumped left in fear, a loud "Ah!" escaped his lips. Duane was as scared as if he had seen a ghost, which as it turns out is what he assumed he saw. Keeping what few wits he still had left about him, Duane flipped the cork off the flask and flung the contents in the direction of the voice, just as Cece had instructed him to do. A large cloud of blue powder hung in the air, but as the powder settled, Duane could observe the outline of a creature. It was small and furry, with rounded ears and a snout. I can tell you now that it was an Arctic fox whose fur, generally speaking, is as white as snow, making it extremely difficult to spot in the winter. However, at that moment, its fur was now as blue as lapis lazuli powder it was covered in.
Why did you go and do that?" demanded the fox, most displeased.
"Because I was frightened," Duane explained.
"You scared me."
"Oh, come on, it was just a joke," shouted the fox a little too dramatically, all things considered. "I just wanted to have a little fun."
"It wasn't fun for me," insisted Duane. "I thought I was going daft. I thought I might end up wearing a teacup on my head and spouting limerick poems."
"All right, fine. I get it. It wasn't a nice thing to do to a stranger. I'm sorry," said the fox, slumping herself onto the ground again very dramatically and placing her paw on her forehead, as if to suggest she had just had the most exhausting day. "But now I'm blue, so we're even." If this was the fox's way of apologizing, it was unrecognizable to Duane. It almost felt as if Duane should feel bad about being scared. More than that, Duane's nerves were still on edge. "Where are all the others?" The fox, who was still on the ground sighing heavily under the burden of being misunderstood, suddenly stopped and raised her head. "What others?" "The first time we met, I heard hellos coming from both sides of the path, atop the hills and near the bottom. Just now, my ribbon was untied in front of me. Then a voice spoke behind me, and then you spoke to my right. Where are all the others?" The blue fox was back up on her feet, bouncing in front of Duane in sheer delight.
"Yes, lovely, excellent. You thought there were others. You thought there was more than yours truly."
Duane nodded cautiously at the sudden bundle of energy. "That is what I thought."
"Oh, yes, wonderful. But the thing is, the most excellent thing, the thing that I must tell you, so you will be absolutely amazed, is it's just me."
The fox stood still long enough to point to herself with a big, proud smile.
"Really?" asked Duane, as amazed as the fox had predicted. "Yes, yes, let me show you."
The fox now worked herself into a tizzy of motion. "This is where I live, under this hill and that hill. I have secret doors everywhere." To demonstrate this, for the next minute, she proceeded to zip into invisible holes and pop out other holes at the speed nearly impossible to follow. Duane found himself turning one way, then spinning quickly around, barely in time to see the fox dash between his legs and disappear yet into another hole. None of this would have been observable to the eyes were it not for the lapis lazuli powder that allowed him to see the flashes of blue fox set against the white snow. Duane had lost his fear. He was overtaken by another feeling equally as strong. He felt awe. What the fox showed him proved to be the reasonable explanation to the voices that Cece assured him there would be. But nonetheless, to Duane, the illusion the fox created seemed magical. Now that he saw how it was done, he almost wished he could go back to not knowing.
"So you see? You do see, don't you? It was just me doing this all by myself," exclaimed the fox with her arms stretched out wide.
"I do," agreed Duane. He stood there pondering the fox. Since he'd arrived in the very, very far north from somewhere else, he'd made many friends. Cece and Handsome, Sun Girl and the pack. Could this fox become a friend too? A friend like her would never be boring, Duane thought. But a friend like that, he suspected, could also be exhausting. It would have to be, as Cece often said, one of those wait-and-see situations, he finally decided. In the meantime, there was the afternoon tea. I was just on my way to a friend's place. His name is Handsome. My name is Dwayne. Would you care to join me? I would like to. I mean, I would really, really love to go. But there is the question of my blueness. I'm not blue by nature. It would give completely the wrong impression. Dwayne assured the fox that he would explain everything and that it might even make an entertaining story to tell while eating sorbets, tarts, and a plum. The prodding eventually did the trick, and while Dwayne walked to Handsome's place, the fox bounced and ran and occasionally disappeared and reappeared beside him. When they arrived, it was clear that Handsome took his hosting duties seriously. In the middle of the snowy field was a table, beautifully set with a tablecloth, fancy dishes and cups, and a four-tiered serving tray filled with the most mouth-watering treats Dwayne had ever seen in his life. The fox bounced around the table, equally enthralled. Handsome studied her solemnly. "Who is your blue friend?" he asked Dwayne. "I don't know yet," replied Dwayne. "I do know that she isn't actually blue, and I hope you don't mind that I invited her without asking." Because Handsome knew that a host must always be gracious, he said nothing other than, "Well, I suppose we'll need another chair, won't we?" And if there were any feelings of ill will, they melted away when Dwayne handed him the present, complete with the yellow ribbon bow. Handsome untied the bow and opened the case. He gasped. Dwayne had brought him a hand mirror with an ornately carved wooden handle. "For the winter months," Dwayne explained, "when the reflection pond is frozen over and covered in snow." "Yes," said Handsome, deeply moved, not just by his striking image in the mirror, but by the thoughtful gesture of Dwayne's gift. "Yes," he said again, looking this time at Dwayne. "Thank you." "When are we going to eat?" exclaimed the fox in an overly dramatic fashion that seemed to be how she expressed everything. "I am so starved. I'm famished. If I don't eat soon, I may simply die on the spot." "Well, we certainly don't want that to happen," said Handsome, pulling himself together. "Dwayne, if you'd be so kind as to fetch another chair, I will pour the tea for us all." And thus began the afternoon tea, shared between two friends and a blue fox who wasn't actually blue, and in fact would stop being blue once she went home and washed. But she was still an Arctic fox, soon to be named Magic.